How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is the 12th of July, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We have Raw to talk about here this evening. We've got the Impact tapings for a big show they have scheduled for Thursday night, the Midsummer's Nightmare Show. Talk about spoilers from that show. And some questions as well, some UFC news. And Dave, the promo... big promo at the end of the show tonight. The CM Punk, Vince McMahon, John Cena angle continues. It's the go-home show for Raw. What did you think when the show was over?
I thought it was awesome. I think they did as about as good a job as possible. They, you know, there was no way that they could have Punk sign the contract because that would basically ruin everything that the match was being built up to do. So they ended up, you know, with Punk tearing up the contract, which was cool. And I thought that... I thought it was great. I thought Cena's interview at the beginning of the show was one of Cena's best interviews he's ever done. It was like it was to the point. He didn't make a joke, put the match over. I mean, they really did a great job of building the match. I'm really curious to see how it does. You know, if they can get a lot of business back this is the first time in a long, long time that they've promoted a main event that really feels like a main event. And, the stips are strong. And obviously, all signs lead to Punk being back at some point. You know, he's going to have to take some time off, I'm presuming. I don't know exactly, what they do, but I just don't see Cena winning, clean. I mean, that would be, even if Vince helps Cena, which I could easily see that as the finish, very easily. In fact, I know it's been talked about. But I just don't see it coming that, I don't know. I would think that that's too easy of a finish and probably not the right finish. So we'll see what they do.
You know what I noticed for the first time on this show? During the Money in the Bank deal, they had six of the seven guys involved. They had a six-man tag. And they're doing this match, and they're talking about how important Money in the Bank is, and they'd had some videos throughout the show talking about how important it is and how this person is going to win the briefcase and how it's so important because they're going to get a shot at this title and all this and that. And it suddenly hit me.
That by saying that, you're in theory, if Punk wins, there's no title to get a shot at.
That's the point. The whole
and
point...
They really needed to say something about that.
No, they can't. Because here's the whole deal.
You have to say if who knows what happens, the winner may not get the shot.
Well, no, you can't say that because the story is in storyline that whoever wins Money in the Bank, if John Cena loses, that person has to cash in. Because if they don't, supposedly the title is leaving the company and they'll never get a shot at it.
Yeah.
So you're pretty much spoiling that the Money in the Bank winner is going to cash it in. You know, I think, to me, it's inevitable someone's going to cash it in because they're trying so hard to not put that part of the storyline on TV in any way. And it's impossible to talk about Money in the Bank in real life, if this were real. It's impossible to talk about that match without acknowledging the fact that if Punk wins the title and leaves, that person has nothing to cash their briefcase in for. So they have to cash it in.
Cash in for the other title.
No, you can. There's two Money in the Bank matches.
Yeah, no, but, I mean, they can change the rules, though.
That's never been mentioned.
Your suggestion was to have the first guy, go out there and fail and have the second guy, the guy who won the other Money in the Bank match, then come in and then pick it up.
Sure. But, I mean, which
I think is actually better than just having the original guy win.
Yeah, but this has never been discussed, which, I mean...
Well, they shouldn't discuss that, because then it ruins the surprise.
Well, I think...
But I think that... I do think that you have to acknowledge something. You don't have to... spell out that he's going to have to cash it in. I don't think you want to say those words, but I do think that you should have probably said something to the effect of, who knows what's going to happen, and kind of put over the idea that you push the idea in people's heads that Punk, if he wins, is going to leave, as opposed to and the Money in the Bank guy will have nothing to cash in, or he'll have to cash in. I guess you could say he could cash in for the other title. Something, just acknowledge it. I think, but I guess that their idea was not to say anything.
Well. That was the... let's just talk about the show from the very beginning here. It opened with Punk coming out with a megaphone. This was in case he got his mic cut. He'd have a megaphone to speak to the people. Did end up cutting his mic. They were in Boston, which, of course, is Cena's hometown. And
it didn't really matter.
No, they hated Cena. There were a lot of people that hated Punk, but as the show wore on, his
Well, he was a half-ass babyface, you know, or he was two-thirds babyface.
Two-thirds.
He wouldn't go all the way.
He was one-third definitely a heel, yelling at the people and that sort of thing. But he recapped what happened, talked about getting suspended, and said that he didn't get suspended for saying his deal was going to expire, or that he was going to beat Cena, or that he was going to take the title elsewhere, or even that Triple H was a doofus. He said he got suspended because he had the balls to say what nobody else would say. And he talked about being reinstated, the match back on. He had a megaphone in case the mic got cut. The people were going nuts chanting his name. Said Vince desperately wanted him to sign. Wanted to give him everything he wanted. He said that the only thing he'd ever wanted was a mic to speak his mind. He said Vince recognized he was the hottest thing in the business today. He'd made the company socially relevant in the real world again. And talked about all these places that supposedly had been calling him, his promos all over YouTube, that sort of deal. Said 5 years ago, if Vince had treated him nicely as he was of late, he wouldn't have all this ammunition to talk about. And he said he wanted Vince in the ring tonight for the first ever live contract renegotiation. And he said that Vince was going to do it. He was going to show up later on. And later on, he said Vince was going to join the CM Punk Kiss My Ass Club. And out came Cena. And he cut the promo you were talking about here, about he wasn't going to let this guy win the belt. He wasn't a pushover. He was going to go out there and retain the title. And talked about all these guys that had claimed, like Punk, that they were the best in the world. And they'd come and gone. And he was still there. He was still the best wrestler. And he was going to whip Punk's ass. And
but he didn't say he was the best wrestler, but he said that, like, you know, Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero and JBL, and he mentioned a couple of other names, Triple H, that they all thought that Cena wasn't at their level, and he proved that he was at their level by beating all of them.
So he said he was going to whip Punk's ass, and at that point the GM dinged, and the GM said that Vince was on the way, and since this was potentially Cena's final night on Raw, we should see him in action. And he said he was booking him in a special match next. By the way, it was also supposedly perhaps CM Punk's final night, and he did not get a match. The big match that Cena was signed to was Cena versus David Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy. Swear to God, that was a match.
And they came out to Punk's music.
Yeah.
So I guess for they're still, you know, there's still a nexus for another week, or they're still with Punk in theory.
Lawler even noted that the fate of the title rested in Cena's hands, and it made no sense for the GM to book him in a handicap match the week before the pay-per-view, which is a solid point, and led me to believe that perhaps the GM is Gabe Sapolsky, or Delirious. You know? Someone's trying to get the title off.
Well, he may be Delirious, but that's a different story.
Yeah, well, that's why he types.
Okay.
Can't speak. Anyway, so the match was no good, and announcers were trying to put over the importance of the title, the history, how badly it was in jeopardy. Great effort, but for God's sake, if the title didn't change hands on every single show, or virtually every show, and
But the thing is that all those title changes don't matter in the sense of what this is, because this is the first time ever in the sense that, or the first time since 1997 where the champion can leave.
I guess.
You know, I mean, they haven't had a situation like that with their world title. I mean, they had Jeff Jarrett, which was, and that was way, way back, you know, but that was a shoot. And they never actually pushed it on television. And, so, you know, it's interesting that they never bring that up, you know, the 1997 thing, but they're alluding to it. You know, you're supposed to remember it at the lengths that Vince would go to make sure that the guy doesn't leave with the championship.
Well, I think they probably didn't want to focus on it because everyone knows the finish was Vince fuck the guy,
and you don't want people the same finish.
Yeah, you don't want people buying the pay per view or not buying the pay per view because they think that's going to be the exact same finish, a Montreal finish again.
Yeah,
we had by the way, Cena pinned McGillicuddy with the FU. There you go. Edge is going to be on Haven Friday.
Boy,
so if you
I
miss
tell you
him,
one thing, you know, I mean, it kind of goes without saying, but what a waste of those tag team championships.
You don't,
I mean,
say.
Normally I would watch that and go, you know, it's kind of stupid to have the tag team champions lose a handicap match. But you know what? It didn't even matter. It really didn't.
Actually, it kind of did matter because they're here talking about the prestigiousness of the title and how important it is. And meanwhile, your tag team champions
are just... Not just tag team title, though.
I know, still, but it's still a championship.
But McGillicuddy and Otunga have it.
It was what?
McGillicuddy and Otunga have it. How prestigious could it be?
I know, but it's still idiotic.
Well, it's idiotic that they have the belts. I mean, when I saw them walk out with the belts, I just thought, you know, they shouldn't even remind us that they're the tag team champions. It's just
In a segment where they're talking about how prestigious the world title is.
Yeah.
Well, the WWE title. I didn't care about the world title. So they previewed Mark Henry and Big Show for Sunday, which is actually an awesome video package, I will say. Then we had Vicky and Dolph.
Probably better than the match.
Well, we'll see. You're probably right. Vicky and Dolph going over what they wanted to say to Vince to try to convince him to fire Punk. And Vicky was playing the role of Vince, making fun of him. Drew walked up. He made fun of Vince. They all took turns burying Vince. And, of course, Vince walked right up. And he said that Dolph and Drew deserved to have the spotlight as two of his brightest stars. And he signed them in a handicap match versus The Big Show. And they'd made fun of him for having bad breath, so he asked him for a mint. And it was Vince being Vince. And then Scott Stamford from Stamford, Connecticut. Anyway, superstars guy. I don't know which guy this was. Anyway, he asked Vince for a comment, and he told everybody to go to hell.
Yeah.
Kelly and Melina. Melina didn't even get an entrance. They had the Bellas doing commentary. This was over quickly, thank God. Kelly with the Faye Masser. And then the Bellas hit the ring, and they were making fun of her for being anorexic, for being covered with zits under the makeup. And they called her a malnurtured nightmare.
They meant malnourished, but yeah.
Sure. She may have been malnurtured. I don't know. Explain a lot,
what,
I guess.
Is there such a word?
Well, that would probably mean that her parents didn't take good care of her.
But what would that have to do with her weight?
I don't know.
They kept saying about how...
Maybe they didn't feed her enough.
She hasn't eaten in a month.
Yeah. I don't know. But the
Bellas... I thought that was really... that's unique because that really came off like... You know, this came off like a Vince Russo segment, you know, where they take the pretty girl and they try to tell you how ugly she is, you know, with the fake hair, you know, and, you know, she's got a weave and everything. And it's kind of like, you know, she does. So it's like if she didn't have it, it's like you know what I mean? It's like it'd be one thing, but you're actually like calling attention that she's like not as pretty as she's supposed to be or you know, fake pretty or whatever the word is.
Yeah.
You know, where she, you know, she keeps her body looking like that by not eating. You know, it was just reminded me of TNA, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, but girls, you know, bury the girls all the time, and then they talk about how you shouldn't bully each other.
Well,
the Bellas, mind you, who were bullying Kelly.
Well, wrestling's about heels bullying. That's why they're heels.
Yeah,
it doesn't really work. You know, like it, you know, the idea of wrestling people. You know, and it's just as ridiculous in TNA standing up against bullies. And then producing this product, it's kind of ridiculous if you think about it.
Yep.
But then again, I mean, it's like, you know,
even if you don't think about it.
I remember the 80s when you had Jake Roberts doing these, you know, promos telling people to, you know, and Hulk Hogan and Bruce Beefcake telling people to stay off drugs. So that was actually more ridiculous.
So the Bellas attacked her. Actually, Kelly attacked them. They beat her up. Then Eve ran down to make the save, and they beat her up. So they're adding an Eve versus, I presume they're adding an Eve versus Nikki match. Maybe not.
No, I don't think they're doing that. I don't think they're going to do that at the pay-per-view, but I think that they're going to do next week on TV. They'll do the Bella Twins against Kelly and Eve again for the 100th time, or maybe the 5th. I don't know, whatever the number it is.
Miz came out. There's a ladder in the ring. Money in the Bank briefcase hanging from the ceiling.
There's ladders everywhere.
Yeah. He cut a promo. Not his best work. The usual. And, of course, you know exactly what happened here. Everybody in Money in the Bank came out and talked about why they were going to win the Money in the Bank briefcase. We've seen this literally a million times. Literally a million times, I think, in the last 10 years. And they did their deal. There's a couple of funny moments that probably should not have been comedy here, such as Truth talking about how he was afraid of spiders. And there better not be spiders on the ladder on Sunday. Briefcase was going to get got. Riley didn't say anything. He just attacked Miz. Alberto actually got a big pop coming out. And he was extremely pissed off that he was even in the match. He said he'd won the number one contendership last week. Then they put Punk back in the match. And now he was stuck having to climb a fucking ladder. Unhappy. Yeah. So,
Well, Truth should be bad, too, because he's already beaten Cena, which you pointed out.
That's right. So, 6 days, he said he was going to teach all of them a lesson. And, anyway, they ended up signing a six-man tag here. And it was Truth, Miz, and Swagger against Bourne, Riley, and Kofi. And it was
Del Rio
fine.
Was the odd man out, and Ray was at home.
Del Rio was lucky. So Riley got the hot tag. They noted he went to Boston College. They didn't alert the fans, apparently, because nobody cared.
The fans didn't care.
My God, they didn't care.
Well, you know what, though? When Riley went after Miz, they
did
care. But when Riley went after anyone else, they didn't care.
Yeah.
Which was not a good sign.
So he hit Swagger with DDT, got the pin. That at least got some cheers. And then Miz laid him out, which also got some cheers, I might add. And Evan went up top for the shooting star on Truth, but Del Rio ran down, knocked him to the outside, beat the crap out of everyone with the ladder, including throwing it over the top onto Miz, who immediately went down holding his elbow. I hope he was selling. It looked very careless on the part
of
Del Rio. Well, yeah, but it looked like...
Bourne was selling.
Yeah, but Del Rio, like, picked up this ladder and threw it at him over the top rope and hit him in the arm.
Oh, yeah.
That was not good. So, there you go. That's the match for Sunday. We had Dolph and Drew against a Big Show. Boy, did Dolph look like a geek. Thankfully, he tried to avoid this match at all costs. Drew got his ass kicked. He got counted out, just trying to flee. Show went after him. They ended
weren't
up on the stage.
Weren't they both counted out?
Listen to what?
Weren't they both counted out?
Well, I mean, Ziggler was just avoiding the action entirely.
I was like...
Oh, a double count out?
Well, Show and McIntyre were fighting outside the ring when the bell rang, but they never really explained anything.
So it just ended. Doesn't really matter. They ended up on the ramp, and Big Show was destroying him on the ramp. And he went to choke slam him off the stage, and out sprints Mark Henry. I mean, he's sprinting, barreling across the stage, as Lawler says. He body checks Big Show. Big Show goes off the stage. Henry flies off the stage after him. And then Drew flies off the stage in a completely opposite direction. And, you know, they had like a big, you know, the crash pad and everything like that. But this looked like an out-of-control, dangerous spot. And I don't like those. She had bodies flying everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, It looked kind of goofy to me as far as, like, because they didn't even fall very far.
No.
But Drew, I don't know what happened to him.
That was a scary one. He was up for a choke slam, and he just flies off as the other two guys
go to
the
fade. I don't know where he went. I haven't heard any update on if he's okay either.
I presume they had one on the other side, but, I mean, even if they did, that's, like, margin for error. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Henry walked away, though, so he's alive at least. We had a Money in the Bank video package. I mentioned this last year. That if you want to sell Money in the Bank, actually, I think I said this for TLC, just show like TLC clips like every hour on the hour for like 3 weeks on these shows.
Well, they did it for 1 week.
They got it for 1 week. I guess that's 5,000 buys, but I'd have done more. So then we had Vince come out and he had a contract, went backstage and came out again 4 times, hoping for a bigger reaction, and it worked. And he said, if anyone is expecting him to enter the CM Punk Kiss My Ass Club, they better think again. He said this was supposed to be a public negotiation, but these things should not be negotiated in public. But if that's what Punk wanted, he wanted him to come out. And he came out with a contract of his own. He mocked Vince's walk. Vince wanted a handshake, and Punk said no. So Vince said, all right, everything's here. All of your wacky requests, including your desire for a collector's cup. And Punk took the mic and said, you know, I know why you're here. He said, you clearly have no faith in John Cena. And Vince said that had nothing to do with it. He said this was about doing the right thing. It was about making you a millionaire, whole nine yards. Called him Phil. Said, I can call you Phil, right? Had a lot of inside references here, perhaps one too many. But Punk said, listen, I got my lawyers to look over the deal. I don't like it. I have a new deal here. My signature's on the deal. All you have to do is sign it. And I have some new perks. And the perks included that he is allowed to push Vince, kick him in the balls, apparently. He wants his...
I thought he was going to sign the Tito contract where he gets Vince in a boxing match.
Hey, that may be in there. He didn't get that far. But he wants his own jet. Not Vince's jet, by the way. He wants his face on everything, including the turnbuckles. He wants his own ice cream bar, which I wouldn't be surprised to see those in the next couple of months.
Yeah. It sort of sounded like product placement idea to me.
Well, he mentioned it. The fans chanted his name, and Punk said, there, I just sold you $1 million in ice cream bars, which that's a lot of ice cream bars. So I don't know if that's the case, but yeah. He wants his own movie, Chaperone 2, which he said would be better than Chaperone 1. It would be successful and funny and interesting. He said Vince could still have his little Rock versus Cena fantasy at Mania, but he wanted the main event. And most of all, he wanted Vince to apologize to him. He wanted to apologize to him for suspending him. He wanted him to apologize to the people for being one of the biggest hypocrites of all time. He said Vince talked about anti-bullying, but he was the biggest bully he'd ever met. He said he fired many of his talented friends and guys like Luke Gallows and Colt Cabana. And he said Vince is going to apologize to him and he's going to like it. And Vince didn't want to do it, so Punk shoved over the table. The fans chanted, "We want ice cream," and Vince said he didn't give a damn what they wanted. And Punk said that was the problem. You don't give a damn. You don't care about what anybody wants. And Vince gave kind of a half-hearted apology, and Punk mocked him for being lame. So Vince said, "I apologize, you son of a bitch." And Punk celebrated, said this was better than winning the title three times. Vince just apologized to him. We got a mild Colt Cabana chant. And as Vince was about to sign and give him everything he wanted, out came Cena. And Vince, under his breath, said, and I quote, "What the fuck," was what he said. And Cena said, "I know you are going to sign. I'm not going to tell you not to sign it and cave into a terrorist. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But listen, Punk, last week, I stood up for him. He deserved a title shot, but you two are acting like babies." He had a little bit of bullshit Cena comedy, but got beyond it, thankfully. Said that Punk forced Vince to apologize and talked about the people and all that bullshit. But meanwhile, Punk was just going to walk out on everybody on Sunday. And he was doing this big speech, and Punk cut him off. Did a big tirade about how Cena...
Punk was a big hypocrite, too.
Yep, said Cena always talked about being an underdog. And in reality, Punk was the underdog. Cena was the dynasty, he said. He compared him to all the local sports teams, Red Sox, Patriots, Bruins, Celtics. Let me know if I mess those up. Teams, he said, that were supposedly underdogs, but were in fact winners most of the time. And he said,
the Celtics.
That's right. Cena said
he... Yeah, Patriots, too.
Yep. Cena said, or Punk said Cena become the very thing that he hated, a dynasty. He said that Cena had become the New York Yankees. And so Cena could take no more, and he punched him in the face. And Punk bailed his way up the ramp, grabbed the mic, and said, "You know what? You want to know why I'm leaving?" He said, "I figured it out when you punched me. I'm just tired of this place. I'm tired of you, Cena. I'm tired of everything here." He said, "On Sunday, all of you fans can say goodbye to the title. You can say goodbye to Cena, and you can say goodbye to CM Punk." And he tore up the contract, ripped it to shreds, and that was the end of that. It was an awesome segment. And I stand by 170,000 buys domestic for this show.
I think I might do that. I thought they did a great job. I mean, really great job tonight.
Hell of a job.
As far as selling the match, the whole show made the match just seem like something special. You know, unlike 90% of their pay-per-view main events where they half-ass it, I mean, this one, there was, you know, this show was, you know, they hit it all the way, and they didn't mess up with comedy. They didn't they didn't do promos where they didn't care. I mean, they made it out like this was like a real deal match.
Well, here's the key to this match. Like, they've done a million main events over the last year, Cena versus Orton for the title or whatever the title match is for any particular show. And when it's over, there's a guy with a belt. And it doesn't matter. Wins and losses, I mean, you know, obviously they protect certain guys. But does it matter if Cena has a title or whoever has a title this month, you know, Miz, whatever. They're just going to do a match and someone's going to get a belt. This doesn't matter. No one cares. Even when you have, like, the stipulations, you know, oftentimes it's just like, you know, it's a goofy stipulation and people don't buy it or whatever the case might be. This is a deal where I know that nobody believes Cena's being fired. And I know that nobody, well, actually some people believe that Punk is going to take the title to ROH. I wouldn't hold your breath for that.
I don't think anyone really believes that.
There are a couple people that think it, but
well, I mean, very few.
It,
I mean, if he does, that just means that they have a business relationship.
Well, sure. But the whole key to this is the winner matters in the sense that everybody is trying to figure out what can they do here? Where can they go? What is the finish going to be? And this is intriguing people. You know, it's almost like, it's not to the level of the invasion, but remember when the invasion was about to take place and we had a million people calling into IATA and they all had a million ideas for the invasion? And granted,
yeah, every one of them better than the one they did.
Exactly. The dumbest idea that someone
well,
called
I hope
in with
that
was...
happen again.
Well, the point is, the dumbest idea somebody had was better than what they had. But the point is, all these people were calling in with ideas. We have gotten so many emails and and we've gotten so many people on the board and writing into us with all of these different ideas about where they could go, and, you know, what happens if this happens, and maybe this guy could cash in this, and maybe this could happen, and this could, you know, these people are fascinated by what they could do here. Yeah, that's why this works.
I hope that they don't make the cardinal mistake of overthinking, because it's probably the right thing to do, and I have a feeling, you know, like that they sometimes, whatever the right thing is for business, they often won't do it because they think that it's too predictable. And, you know, it's like, you know, you can fool people and have, you know, Evan Bourne win, which obviously will not happen. But we'll see where they go.
Well, the good thing,
you know, I don't know. I'm so used to the TNA overbooking and WWE just kind of like, you know, half-ass booking.
Well, the positive here is that we talked about yesterday. Last week's show was taped the week prior, so they had 2 weeks of overthinking to fuck this up. And in fact, this ended up awesome.
Yeah, but this isn't the pay-per-view.
I know, but that's a positive sign.
Well,
I listen. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, they scripted a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, you're right. They could have gone way too far.
Well, you can't tell me that you didn't have that part of you in the back of your mind, because I know I did, where before Raw started, I thought, you know, the show's going to be over, and people are going to be emailing saying, man, did they fuck that up at the last minute? And they didn't!
They didn't.
And I thought there was at least a possibility.
A lot of it was Punk, though. You know, I mean, in the sense that he carried a lot of those segments, and he wasn't going to screw it up. If they were going to screw it up, I think the guy... The one thing I think is the guy's got a lot of instinct for what his character is. And I think that in this situation right here, if they wrote something that would screw it up, he wasn't going to say it anyway. So, you know, there was only so much that they could have done.
So the show is Sunday night, and obviously we'll be up after the show. Dave will have the play-by-play. I think it's going to be a big day for the website as far as traffic. And I think it's going to be a big day for WWE pay-per-view. This will be the most purchased B show in a long, long time.
Should be. If it's not, it's not a good sign.
No, it's a very bad sign. But
if they can't do 170,000 buys with this, that's a really bad sign, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at the TNA spoilers here. If you don't want spoilers, now is a great time to fast forward, because there are big spoilers here on this show. It opened up with the in-ring celebration. Immortal and Mr. Anderson, he is now part of the group. And Sting came out, cornered Bischoff, and he wanted him to make a bet on who was leaving with the title. And Sting said he had friends to combat Immortal, and there were four men dressed as clowns in the rafters. Mm-hmm. We had Bobby Roode beating Joe and the Pope. Joe had Roode in the choke, but he was on his back. And the ref... Whoa, cell phone there.
Yeah.
And the ref countered a pin, and Joe was very unhappy with that.
Great finish.
Austin Aries beat Shannon Moore. So for those of you on the board that were asking who Aries was going to lose to on the first taping after the pay-per-view, you were wrong! He won!
However, no low-key or Jack Evans.
No low-key or Jack Evans. Well, if the stipulation was the winner got a contract, keep him off TV for 3 weeks or something like that before you bring him back.
I hope they bring him back.
So do I. But
it's pretty bad when the guys who steal your show are the four, you know, are, you know.
Four non-contracted talents.
There's a lot, you know. It's so bizarre, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, on the on Impact on Thursday, you know, the biggest growth segment of the show, actually, you know, I think I may not have been the biggest growth, but big growth segment on the show was the Jack Evans match, which by all rights, it's three guys who've never been on TV, who don't look like stars, and they gained 200 something. I got the number in front of me.
Hold on. Tells you how badly people are begging for new faces.
I think they just saw a great wrestling match and didn't tune out.
I think they're begging for new faces.
Yeah,
it was a great match, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was 214,000 viewers to see Tony Nese and Jesse Sorensen and Jack Evans.
Yeah, three new faces having a good match.
Yeah.
What a shocking concept there.
God, I mean, they put you know, Hogan and Sting and Angle and Anderson and RVD and all these guys, and that never happens.
Serious question, though.
Yes.
It's 2011. I mean, when you really think about Hogan and Sting and RVD and these guys, I mean, God bless them all, but what are they going to bring to the table that we haven't seen 1,000 times?
I don't know.
I saw Hulk Hogan and Sting have a match 4 years after I got out of high school. I'm a 36-year-old man right now. What are they going to possibly give me in 2011?
And you know what? The match wasn't any good then.
No!
The only thing that their matches were memorable for was that Nick Patrick did the worst fast count in history.
Yes. I have no idea what they can possibly... So Sting is the Joker and Hulk Hogan is... Well, he's Hulk Hogan, you know?
Batman.
Great! Great! It does not intrigue me right now.
What's the dude? The butler dude? Is that what he is?
Alfred?
Alfred. Alfred the butler, yeah.
It's possible. It's possible. We had Tara beating Madison Rayne.
Doesn't Mark Ratner look like Alfred the Butler?
He does, kind of.
Okay, just popped into my head when I was thinking Alfred the Butler, and I had this picture of Mark Ratner in my head.
Maybe they'll call Mark Ratner for this angle.
Yeah, right.
Spike will call him for a tie-in while they still can.
Okay.
Tara beat Madison Rayne, and Tara had a present for Rayne. It was a tarantula. Didn't I see this angle, like, last year?
Probably.
Just checking. Kurt did a promo saying he's going to face the Sting versus Anderson winner at Hardcore Justice. So we'll talk about that in a second. Hernandez and Anarchia beat the British Invasion to determine who gets the next title shot at Beer Money. Oh, by the way, update from last night. Apparently, Chris Daniels got the concussion in the match last night.
Was it a concussion?
I was told it was a concussion.
Okay, I just heard he was shaken up. I didn't hear it was a concussion or not, although neither AJ or Daniels wrestled tonight.
This was not an official medical report, but the person that I talked to said it was a concussion. Okay. And apparently Daniels had no idea what happened or when. So it wasn't like, you know, he took a bump and was like, oh, that's what banged me up. He had no idea.
Maybe him and like AJ are so close that when AJ takes a bad bump, Daniels gets the concussion.
It's possible. Possible. I was trying to figure out that spot where I thought that AJ had the concussion. And maybe the whole deal was AJ was waiting for Daniels to do the roll, and Daniels didn't go, and so AJ just sat there. Anyway, the whole thing was just, yeah. And I guess as far as AJ being wobbly on the top rope, I guess the ropes were higher, and a lot of people were unstable on them. Which,
yeah, what's his name? Mark Haskins sure was.
Begs the question, why the hell, you know, in the end, in the grand scheme of things, did the six-sided ring mean a damn thing last night? No.
No, no, not a thing.
Not a thing, except guys kept falling off the top rope. We had main event, Sting and Mr. Anderson for the title. Sting hit the mic check. Anderson used the death lock. Yes, they stole each other's moves. Ref took a bump. Bully Ray came out. Lights went out. A clown had hit Ray and Anderson with a bat. And then Sting hit Anderson with the death drop. Sting is your new heavyweight champion here in 2011. And he's facing Kurt Angle at the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view. It's your main event.
That's a weird one.
Yes, it really is.
It's really weird. I mean, two baby faces, one baby faces, you know, things that make kind of no sense storyline-wise, although I guess, who knows? Who knows where they're going? So we got that. We got Mickey James and Winter and the Beer Money and British Invasion. I mean, and Mexican America. And Alex Shelley and Brian Kendrick. I don't know. Doesn't do anything for me at all.
What's hardcore about this show?
I don't know. Maybe they'll just start adding a bunch of stips that make it worse.
I thought they'd bring back the old folks again, but apparently not.
Well, who? They can't bring back ECW guys because they're all fired.
Well, so were some of the guys from the X Division show.
Yeah, but they said that they would never, you know, Tommy Dreamer said he would never do another ECW show again. That was the last one ever.
All righty. BJ Penn, Carlos Condit. What's up?
They are in talks about the match. It's not signed for October 29th in Las Vegas for a title shot.
For a title shot.
The GSP... Nick Diaz winner, which would be on the same night. So that's kind of like where they're. It's not a signed match. Dana White actually texted me a couple hours ago and said it's not done yet, but they're working on it.
You know, and,
they both on Twitter have accepted each other's challenge, so they've already shot the angle. They just have not signed the contract.
You know, if let's just say that GSP and BJ Penn win, the interviews, mostly from the BJ Penn side, and the countdown special, and the 24/7 if they do it, that's going to be something else.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great. I would presume. I don't know that they'll do it a lot more than the last one, just because the last one was one of the best promoted matches I think that UFC ever had. And the problem was that George pretty handily won that fight.
I mean,
he won every round and won every minute of every round. But it was a couple of years ago, and
we're going to have to hear about Greasegate and all of this other
stuff. And
on and on.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, let's do some of the questions here. This person says, I've been working my way through the old shows. I heard a show where Brian emphatically stated that someday he was going to write a book and it would just be called The Death of TNA, Gunnar and Murphy. Given Gunnar's continued time in the spotlight, has his opinion changed at all? Actually, I have no problem with Gunnar right now.
He's good.
No problem with him.
For, you know, all things considered.
I was very annoyed when Gunnar and Murphy kept appearing on every show and they kept talking about them like they'd been wrestlers in TNA forever and we should know who they are and everything about them. And I had no idea who they were, which was which, or what the hell they were doing there.
Which one was Gunnar and which one was Murphy?
It took forever for me to figure that out. Because they just kept randomly...
They didn't really make it clear.
No, they
I kind of knew, but then I kept... I mean, I think I actually knew right away, but everyone else seemed to have the wrong one. Like Murphy was Gunnar and Gunnar was Murphy, because I would read these results of Gunnar and Murphy and it was always the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, all Murphy's right. The one who ain't there anymore.
No, Murphy... remember Murphy got fired for sucking? That's what Bischoff said?
Yeah, but Rob Terry did too, and he's still there.
Well, he's big.
Yeah, but he was... Well, whatever.
Let's see. Do you know what the...
Orlando Jordan and the Young Bucks are no longer with the company.
That's right. The Bucks quit.
Jordan got released.
The Young Bucks chose Ring of Honor over TNA, which should tell you about the payoff situation in TNA these days.
Yeah, well, you know, Ring of Honor is getting television. I don't know how long that, you know, what the terms of the, you know, of everything are, but yeah. I'm sure the thing is that they'll have a lot more fun, and if that's what they want out of life is to have fun, it's not the worst goal in life, you know, to have fun. I mean, because wrestling, you know, wrestling is a hard enough business anyway, and to hate your job when you're wrestling, that, you know, and beat up your body at the same time, and not make any money doing it. You know, at least you could have fun and beat up your body and not make a lot of money.
Sure. Speaking of, this person says, you know the contract situation with Jim Ross and WWE and Cornette and ROH? Because I'd like to see them run TNA. Don't hold your breath.
It's not going to happen.
No, do not hold your breath waiting for that.
Jim Ross is not going to TNA. And I'm pretty sure he's under contract to WWE. And Jim Cornette has, I don't want to say it's a dream job, but
he's doing fine.
Jim Cornette has wanted to be, you know, have a chance to run a wrestling company the way he wants, with real talent. I mean, you know, so he ain't going to go to, you know, plus they're not going to hire him anyway. I mean, come on, he wrote that letter threatening Vince Russo's life in their eyes, and, you know, so it's not going to happen.
Where do you rate Eddie Gilbert's booking with the CWF in 1988, and who was supposed to win the road to Birmingham, and what main feuds were to come out of it?
I don't remember who was supposed to win the road to Birmingham, but his booking was good. I was pretty entertained by his booking in Alabama. He was just getting the thing. He was really just getting it going. And but, you know, him and owner David Woods had a big falling out because he said he was injured, which he was. But then he went and did a shot in Kansas City, which probably was not the smartest idea. And then I think that he got called and you know, tried to say he didn't do it, and you know, which you could never do today. But even then, you really couldn't do it. So that made it real bad. And, you know, that's kind of where he screwed up, I guess.
Person says during the radio interview that Randy Orton did recently where he talked about Kelly's sex life, he also said The Rock needs for someone to write his promos for him and also uses a teleprompter. Never heard this before, especially the part about the use of a teleprompter. Is Orton being completely truthful about this?
Well, I mean, Rock does have, you know, writers write his promo, and he when he does those promos where he's at home, he does use a teleprompter. But does he need to? I mean, you know, I think he did probably 90% of his promos without a teleprompter, probably 98% of his promos without a teleprompter during his career, maybe 99%.
Yeah, but during the time, you got to realize that he was actually there. He knew what the storylines were. He was watching. He was obviously on the show every week. He knew all of his storylines. You know, he's got a lot of shit to do nowadays.
He walked on a Tough Enough set, just walked on, no preparation, no nothing. And then they said, like, you know, Rocco, do a promo. And he did a better promo than, like, almost any promo on Raw.
Well, yeah. But he didn't have to mention specific storylines and things that were happening on Raw.
How hard is that?
If you're not watching the show, pretty damn hard.
I really don't think that he needs a teleprompter to do a promo.
No, I'm not saying he does. I'm just saying it's helpful if you've been kind of out of the loop for a while and you're busy.
True. But does he, you know.
No, he doesn't need one.
I don't think he needs one. And I think that if he didn't have a promo scripted, I think he would do just fine.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, like, I'm sure Rock has a lot to do. You know, it's not like he's sitting there for a full day at his house just writing out a promo for the next day. Or planning one.
No, I'm sure he's not.
Now, I do hope that he does, in fact, have a teleprompter at his house for personal use.
The promo, which promo was it? The one where he first came back, was that, I don't want to say it wasn't scripted, but a lot of it wasn't. And the stuff on his birthday, you know, a lot of that, they were throwing the stuff at him because he didn't know a lot of that stuff was coming.
This person wants to know your thoughts on WWE moving away from PG. Is anyone in the company pushing for it, and do you think it would benefit them financially?
They have to say that they're not because of the Mattel deal and the Mattel deal. So in that sense, between sponsorship and the Mattel deal, it actually benefits them very much financially to stay PG, but I think they, you know, like usual, I think they want, you know, the best of both worlds. You know, they want to be able to do what they want to do, but they, you know, like they made a promise, but I think that, you know, with Vince, it's like, you know, he doesn't really feel the need to live up to his agreements, except this one he may have to, just so I don't know. I think they want to get a little edgier, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, the issue's never been PG. I mean, you know, yeah, you know, there's no blood, but you know what? There's still going to be no blood. So, you know, how much that's not really going to change. And there is going to be, they're not going to do a lot of swearing, I don't think either. So, whatever.
Whatever happened to Ludwig Borg in the WWF? I remember him debuting at SummerSlam 93, given a push as the evil foreigner. He even started feuding with the top babyface Luger going to the Survivor Series. After Survivor Series, Borg had just disappeared. What happened?
He had an injury, and they had a lot of problems with him. He did not conform to what WWE wanted anyone to do, and so they just figured... I never figured out like why they pushed him in the first place, because, I mean, he was pushed in Japan like crazy, when he first went there. And for as much as he was pushed, he was never over to that level. But I guess maybe WWE didn't realize that, and then they brought him in, and they pushed him like crazy. And he was never over the level he was pushed either. And so they got rid of him. And then he had quite the life. You know, he was a singer, boxer, what else? Writer and politician. Before he killed himself.
Yeah. A couple more here. How is Bobby Heenan doing health-wise? I remember hearing he was in rough shape a little while ago. Haven't heard much since.
Not the best of news. I mean, you know, he's having a really, really rough time.
Hmm. All righty. I'm actually going to skip that one. One last one here. Does TBS ever get into wrestling MMA? What else do they have?
TBS?
Sure.
They got Dallas, right?
That's right.
TBS has plenty of shows. TBS is doing just fine without wrestling. They're holding their own. They got, don't they have like George Lopez and stuff? And
Dallas is coming back.
I guess it is.
You excited for that?
That's what I heard yesterday.
You excited for this?
No, not at all.
Come on, you were a big Dallas fan back in the day.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Dory Funk Jr. back in the day, too, but that doesn't mean that, you know, I want to watch him wrestle this year.
That doesn't make sense, Dave, because Russo keeps trotting out these guys from the 90s.
Yeah, it's like you know, bringing back, I don't know.
Maybe Russo could bring back J.R. Ewing.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
Top heel?
I mean, don't give me any ideas, because he'll go watch one of those shows and he'll steal all the dialogue.
That's what I'm telling you.
I mean, didn't they have, who was it? They were stealing dialogue from some Eddie Murphy movie this weekend. Eddie Murphy movie from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. So, yes. Hey, tell me, so what's the deal with Lance Storm boycotting UFC?
Oh, he's just he's very upset about Chael getting a fight. They're bringing him to Texas as opposed to getting him licensed in California first.
Yeah, well,
he feels they're saying one thing about wanting to clean up the sport and meanwhile doing something totally different, and so he refuses to support them. He's on his high horse, he said.
Okay, I can understand that completely. You know, if that's what he thinks, but isn't that sort of like the entire history of WWE?
He had an explanation for this on the board.
Did he?
Yeah. You
know. I don't know that. You know, I mean, I will say this: WWE did test really, really hard on its own, and UFC has not done that. And in my mind, they probably should. I think that allowing the commission, you know, doing the thing where the commission's test kind of is it kind of incentivizes, you know, people getting off, you know, 3 weeks before, because they kind of know when they're being tested. And to me, that's, you know, I mean, you know, when it comes to drug testing, you know, to me, it's like you either do it or you don't. And what they're doing now is kind of, it's almost like the worst kind, because, you know, anyone who wants to do it can do it and feel no fear of being caught unless they're complete idiots. Or unlucky, like Nate Marquardt, he got tested when he wasn't expecting to get tested. But, you know, I do think UFC should do random testing of its own, but they haven't. But I will say this, there is the flip side of that is that, with UFC, I mean, Chael did miss a year. And, you know, with WWE, you miss 30 days. And there's a big difference between missing 30 days and missing a year, especially when you're Chael's age.
Well, next week on the show, Lance is going to do a follow-up, because a lot of people are talking about what he's decided to do. So,
yeah. I mean, I can see where he's coming from. But, I mean, you know, the reality is that, you know, and again, I know that he's not a fan of other sports, but there's a lot of other sports that kind of fall in there. And I'm disappointed as far as like them doing the Texas thing, because it's exactly what, you know, they put it this way. I mean, there's a thing on our board, and I did the question, and it was like, do you believe that if a prelim guy did the exact same thing that Chael did, that they would bring him to Texas, you know, rather than make him go back? And it was like 95% said that they did not believe that they would bring him to Texas. And I don't either. And to me, you know,
it's because they fired Marquardt.
Yeah, they fired Marquardt over, you know, well, you know, I mean, they fired Marquardt because Marquardt ruined their main event. I mean, like the week of the show, that whole thing was a fiasco. I mean, I do understand why they fired Marquardt. And, you know, the reality is, you know, again, Chael has been out of action for a long time. If it was less than a year, I would probably be madder. But, you know, when all is said and done, he's fighting in, October 8th. So it's basically 14 months out. That's a long time. So I wish that he would have gone to California and everything like that. But, you know, he did have to sit out 14 months. But, you know, yeah, they did take him to Texas, which, you know, the whole thing. Yeah. The whole Texas thing, it's just that's where the whole fiasco of this whole thing is. It's not, you know, it's this whole idea of, you know, like, we've got this safe haven that we've got this commission that's, you know, going to have, you know, possibly bad referees. At least one of the last shows I saw, the refereeing was just incredibly bad. And, you know, I don't want to say lax safety standards, because that may not be the case, but certainly they'll, you know, again, they licensed Margarito. You know, and you know, in comparison, like we've talked about before, it, you know, what Chael did was nothing compared to what Margarito did. And they let him fight. So, you know, they're pretty, it's just kind of bad that you've got a state like that. But, you know, a lot of these commissions, it's such a weird thing, because they have to talk about and kind of understand all these complicated matters. And as we saw with California, a lot of the commissioners really didn't understand it. And it's kind of embarrassing, that whole, you know, that first hearing especially, not so much the second, but that first hearing, you know, where you've got guys and they, you know, they really don't know the subject. And then they have to make decisions on a subject that they don't know, based on, you know, you know, just the idea of, well, maybe he was trying to apply, you know, and I don't know.
Well, that's going to do it for today, everybody. We're going to be back on Wednesday with a brand new show. We got a lot of stuff coming up as well. There's new back issue of The Observer up tomorrow, new Figure Four Weekly up tomorrow, new Observer up on Wednesday. Tons of stuff coming up. So
Two observers this week.
So a lot of stuff to check out. We'll talk to you again after a while.